I remember when we first had kids, my fear factor with having a child went through the roof. Partially because I had absolutely no experience with babies. I think babies are really, really small and really, really scary, and I'm pretty sure I'm going to break them. And when you have a kid and you're a dad, you just want to know, well, what am I supposed to do? How am I supposed to do this? And you try everything. You read a lot of books. You draw on your own experiences, and you hope and pray that you do things right. You wish there was some sort of manual that could be given to you to help you, especially when it comes to kids. I also remember when I first started dating, this whole concept of these members of the opposite sex, these females that I did not understand. They were confusing to me. I didn't understand. Sometimes they seemed so confident. Sometimes they didn't seem so confident. I thought for sure that the way you told a girl you liked her was by punching her in the arm and tackling her to the ground, because that's what they did to me. So I thought, this is how we do that. I was a very confused young man when it comes to relationships. How in the world are we supposed to handle relationships? And then, after you start dating, you're trying to figure things out. There's a lot of apologies because you made a lot of mistakes. And then you get married, and then you have a whole brand new host of problems, because now you actually are living under the same roof as this person, and you're still trying to figure them out. Question for those people who have been married for any significant period of time: have you fully figured out your spouse?
No,
as everyone's just, yeah. So this is important, because some of you, I'm leaving, boys, pay attention, because I wish I had some more instruction on this. I wish I knew a little bit more about how to live, especially when it comes to relationships. I've always shied away from this passage, partially because I understand right from the get-go we might have people checking out, right? Because if you're not married, well, what does this have to do with me? If you are married, you better listen up. This is super important. But if you're not married, if you're younger and looking forward to getting married, then pay attention, because this is absolutely crucial material. If you are older and still thinking maybe I'll get married, then please pay attention. If you are someone who has any interaction with members of the opposite sex, whether that be with the co-workers or maybe other family members, you probably should pay attention. This stuff will help you in all areas and facets of life when you have to deal with other people. The problem we've always had is, growing up, I normally hung out with boys. So I learned to talk like a boy, act like a boy, flirt with girls like a boy, and most of the time it was really, really bad. Later on in college, I was like, oh, let me see if I can hang out with girls a little bit more to see if I can figure them out. Young ladies, maybe you started off hanging out with girls, so you talk like a girl, you act like a girl, and you think, this is how I interact with members of the opposite sex. Well, that's not how God designed us. God designed us in different ways for different reasons. God did not create one of us more powerful or more superior than the other. God created us as helpmates to each other, according to Genesis chapter 1. And because he did it this way, there's going to be major differences in how we relate to one another. Once we figure out some of those differences, I think life will go a little bit easier for us. As I've said, this is material that I've talked about in marriage seminars, when I do premarital counseling, but I've also helped people out just in general. Men, how do you relate to women? Women, how do you relate to men? If we go back to a user's manual, if we go back to someone who knows us better than we know ourselves, then we're going to find out that God created us to relate to one another differently. Now, again, some of the stuff I'm going to be telling you, guys don't do this with other guys. It's really weird and it's kind of awkward. Girls don't do this with other girls. Because, again, how guys and girls relate is totally different. So as we study this, we're going to be hitting a passage that no one likes to hear. We're going to be using words that no one wants to hear, partially because they've been misused throughout the ages. I will tell you what they mean. I will tell you how it applies. And I will tell you how, when done properly, this kind of relationship becomes ideal and helps us in these relationships. All right? Now, I'm starting, I think this is the most important thing to start with. We have to start at verse 21. I believe this is an unfortunate break, and I'll tell you the reason why, is because in verse 22, there is no verb. So, in order to get the verb properly, we have to go back to 21, and 21 tells us how we should live. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Who is he referring to? Men or women?
Both.
Okay, we're clear on this? Right. Now, in that word submit is a word that's used all through Scripture, and it's used both of men and women. It's used of Jesus. Did you know that Jesus submitted to the will of the Father? So fathers and sons, parents and children. The demons are told that they have to submit to God and his word. We're also told that we must submit ourselves to the governing authorities. I think when we start understanding what this means, this is not a negative word. It's not a bad word. It's just a word. It is a word that's designed to take our pride away. I think it's very easy sometimes for us to say we know all, we're above all, but that's not how it's supposed to be. Even people who are of the highest rank still must submit in some way, shape, or form. There is only one that does not submit, and that's God the Father, but it's very interestingly that God the Son submits to God the Father. We submit to people who are police officers, or firefighters, or public servants. We submit to one another. I submit to you. You submit to me. Not in a way that is supposed to be domineering. Not in a way that is supposed to have power and control. That's not what this means. It is because I am a sinful human being, I will need to at times make sure that I submit to other people to make sure that I am never stepping in the place of God himself. I think people who get power all of a sudden feel like they don't have to submit to anybody. I believe that the higher up you are, the more you must submit. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Now, the word reverence is a wonderful word in the Greek, phobia. We would say submit to one another out of fear for Christ. Now, the problem is the word fear today takes on a bunch of different meanings. In the Greek, phobia could mean fear, as in I'm afraid of something, but it also has the connotation of awe and respect. So the idea is Christ is the head, God is the leader, and we submit to him, but because we also love him, we submit to each other. That is the overarching message. Submit to one another. Don't think you know it all. If you are someone who is in a position of power, it's easy to come and say, you must submit to me. But be careful. We're always to submit to one another because we love God. And then Paul is going to go through a bunch of different scenarios. We're only going to hit really the first scenario, which is husbands and wives, which I think can be brought into most guy-girl relationships, whether that is romantic or unromantic. It doesn't matter. How we relate to one another is important, and to women. So as we learn this, then it's going to be in chapter 6, it goes to children and parents and slaves and masters. We might say bosses and workers. So let's see how this fulfills itself when it comes to wives and husbands. Wives to your husbands. That's what the Greek says. That's the reason why I know the verse 21 is supposed to be with verse 22. Because verse 22 has no verb. It doesn't say wives submit to your husbands. It just says wives to your husbands. As to the Lord. In other words, when you submit to another person, you do it as if you were doing it to God. You do it as if you were doing it to the Lord. Again, we've got governing authorities. We've got to one another. But most importantly, in this relationship of husbands to wives. And it's very interesting because later on, he's going to use another word about respecting. Now, and I think this is going to be the key. You may not like the word submit. Well, then maybe you should like the word respect. Wives, I can say, respect your husbands. Now, what does this not mean? This does not mean that if a husband leads a spouse to do something that they're not supposed to do, that would be wrong. As we know from Scripture, the overarching message of that is, if anyone tells you to do anything contrary to what God's Word says, then you don't follow that. This does not mean that women are inferior. I think this is important. So I think sometimes we think that submission means, well, someone is superior to me. No, that's not what that means at all. In fact, I think it takes a very strong person to submit to someone else. It does not mean that women don't have any great ideas. In fact, I believe they often have most of the good ideas, especially in my relationship. They often are quite intelligent and know exactly what to do. But there is this idea of trying to honor and uplift the husband. What men need the most in relationships is respect. Super important. I remember talking about this when a couple of life supports ago, we talked about this in the little marriage thing that I had. This is super important. When it comes to men, men crave respect. Now, don't get me wrong, men crave love. But if I ask the guys here, which hurts worse? Hearing a woman say, I don't love you, or hearing a woman saying, I don't respect you? For most guys, it's the respect. How does this play out? Are the things that you say and do respectful to your husband? I am, one of these days, I forgot who I was talking to. We were talking about old shows. And they brought up Little House on the Prairie. Who here liked Little House on the Prairie? Yes. So I think you can find it on Hulu or Netflix. I'm not too sure. It's somewhere. It's on TV Land. It's on one of those old channels. Do you want to know what I liked most about that? Michael Landon wasn't an idiot. Nowadays, we have this tendency to portray guys as bumbling fools. And so what happens is, in TV shows or movies, you have some sort of crisis, and you have the guy just standing there, not too sure what to do. Maybe he's just picking his nose or dropping his pants or asking for some food so that he can be fed. And somehow it's either the wife or the kids, and usually the dog, that jumps in and saves the day from whatever crisis and catastrophe is happening. And the guy is just clueless and oblivious. My apologies, but that is not real life. That is a caricature. Don't get me wrong, I think guys, sometimes we don't live in such a way to invite respect into our lives. But it does not say, wives, respect your husbands if they are worthy of it. Wives, submit to your husbands as long as they're acting worthy of submission. Nope, nope, nope. This means submitting, respecting, caring for a husband, even if he is a bumbling fool and the dog still needs to save the day. The problem that we're having is because we're inundated with a lot of this stuff in media, with TV shows and movies, is we have gotten into a habit of taking the language and start using it all the time. We've also gotten lazy when it comes to our relationships because we don't know how this works. I'm going to give you a classic example. I think this is super important. I've used it before, but that's okay. Imagine, wives, you're about to go out. Girlfriends, you're about to go out on a nice date, right? And you're going to go to the ranch. Not the dance side of the ranch. We're talking about the fancy dinner side of the ranch. And so the husband is getting ready. He maybe throws on some deodorant. If you're really lucky, maybe even squirts himself with something that smells good. Now, women, what are you doing? Typically spending several hours sometimes finding the right outfit, putting on the makeup, doing the hair. I am always amazed at how long it takes things for hair. Even though my hair is growing out, I really liked it when it was short because all I could do is just wash it, shoom, 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 I'm ready to go. And so women spend a significant portion of time making themselves look good. Why? For the man, right? And for other women, but mainly for the man. I know that some of you do it for, like, when you go, like, you want other people to compliment you, but I still think at the heart of it, you want to drink. So then the guy comes down, and he's wearing jeans and a t-shirt. And then this is when the woman usually says something, and I want you to tell me, is what she says respectful? Is what she says submissive? You're not wearing that, are you? Right? I want to do a show of hands, but I think that this might be that. But, oh, and by the way, this is also a no elbow sermon. All right? Like, hey, are you listening to this? Now! And I already know a bunch of women are like, wait a second, I don't know if I like this sermon. Don't worry, the second half of the sermon is going to be for the guys, right? You'd be like, yeah, get to that. No, we're going to talk about you first. If the woman says, you're not wearing that, are you? Is that a respectful statement? No. Because it puts the guy in a lose-lose situation. He either has to say, yeah, this is what I'm wearing. In all his glory, don't you love it? And he has to become combative against his wife. But most often what happens is the guy kind of drops his head. No, of course not, honey. And he slinks back up to his room, staring at his 12 other t-shirts, wondering which would be the best one to choose. And then he puts on something different, comes down, and she once again says, are you ready? And we repeat this cycle. So by saying things like that, and now this, I think you really need to check your language in a lot of things. Also, we should be submitting to one another out of reverence to Christ, so this should be for a lot of different areas. How do you treat women at work? How do you treat men at work? How do you treat your father? How do you treat your mother? How do you treat your adult children? All of these are starting to apply, and you've got to make sure that you make those applications. So, out of curiosity, what would be a better thing for the woman to say that would be respectful to her husband? I'm dying to hear your suggestions. Okay. Yes, Andrea.
Honey, would you mind putting a jacket on to go with it? It would look so nice.
I love it. Honey, you know, when you wear those tan dress pants and that black polo embroidered with Searchlight Ministries on it. Oh my gosh. You look so good And when you wear that, it just, it makes your eyes pop, and I look at you, and I just love you. And some of you are like, oh, this sounds stupid. No, this sounds respectful. This is the problem, is we haven't learned this type of language. And I've had other people that are like, normal people don't talk like that. And I go, exactly, that's the problem. Maybe we should start talking like this. What if we turned on the news and we had people respecting one another when they talk? Oh my gosh. Wow. That would be crazy. What was that? We would all be in church. We've got to learn how to do this. Okay, same thing. Wives, running late. So you're trying to get yourself ready. You're going to work, trying to get the kids ready. You woke up a little late because it was daylight savings. And so you looked at your husband and you say, honey, can you please get the kids ready for me? Like maybe, you know, get them dressed, get them fed. And the guy goes, you got it, babe. And then he goes and he gets them dressed. And of course, since most guys are not... I'm not supposed to laugh that loud, Jan. guys aren't that color coordinated, maybe not that. Because for guys, why do we put clothes on?
It's what you have to do.
It's what you have to do. If we could go out naked, we would. Because that's what, you know, that's why we come home. And yeah. So we just throw some clothes on, we sniff them a little bit, like, how dirty are they? Ah, that's close to, that's good enough. And then we dress them and we're ready to go. But then what does the wife say? Why are they wearing that? Why did you choose that? That's terrible. And what are you doing? You're slowly disrespecting and tearing down. I believe when it comes to relationships, this is one of those things that is super important. Women learning how to respect and submit to men. Now, this does not mean that men are better than you. Does not mean that men are smarter than you. It just means this is the way God designed things, especially in a relationship, in a marriage relationship. We also have other times when men are supposed to submit to other men. Men are supposed to submit to their parents. It's not that one is better than the other. It's just the order that God has given us. So when women build up their men and respect them, you'll be amazed at how things change in a relationship. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. And again, if you don't like what this says, you're going to have a hard time with Scripture because it's what God says. And by the way, this isn't the only place that he says it. You can go to Colossians and 1 Peter, and it has essentially the exact same phraseology. This isn't just a one-time thing. For the husband is the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church, his body of which he is the Savior. Now, of course, this should start telling us, guys, that having wives submit to us should be slightly terrifying. Because they are now entrusting us, sometimes with decisions that are going to radically affect them and our family's lives. If you do not sense the gravity of the situation, you may not be ready for a relationship. If you are already in that relationship, it's time to start stepping it up. I think that oftentimes guys have given up and have given away what they're supposed to be doing because the wife just does it better than them. And that is a problem. It is not the wife's duty to drag you to church. It is not the wife's duty to say, let's pray. It's supposed to be the husband's duty. He is supposed to step up and lead. He is supposed to be the head. And you should act as the head. When we go through this, you're going to find out that as we describe some of these things, even with wives submitting to their husbands, guys, we need to take a clue and say there's something in this for us to learn. It also should never be used as a weapon. If you are in a disagreement with your wife, do not quote Ephesians 5:22 at them. It's very dangerous. You might lose a finger or an elbow or a head in the whole process. No, woman, you must submit to me. We see no examples of that in Scripture. Instead, we see men needing to do something in just a moment and always doing it for the benefit and the blessing of the other person. Now, this becomes very difficult. This is the whole purpose of this. When we say submit to one another out of reverence for Christ, this means that what you want is secondary to what's more important in the relationship with a husband or wife, a boyfriend, a girlfriend, a parent, a child. You are to submit and say, well, this is what I want, but this is what is better for us as a whole. And so I'm going to do that even though I don't like this. In marriage counseling, this is what I call the C word, which has been maligned, destroyed, saying as a bad word. It's not. The word is compromise. Well, in compromising, everyone loses. No, in compromising, everyone wins. But I don't like it that way. Well, it really doesn't matter. It's not about what you want. You are to submit to one another out of reverence and fear for Christ. It's out of respect for God that I say, you know what, this is what I want, but I would much rather it be for you. So I'm going to give up my rights so that I can now serve you. Men, that is how we are supposed to be. We submit to our wives, and we say, we love you, and we're going to do this because this is what's most important for the family. This also means that if the guy makes a decision for the family that the wife does not like, the wife submits. Not because the man is smarter. That's just the order that God has given to us. But the weight and the gravity of that situation should be on your shoulders, men. That we should live our lives in a way that invites that respect. And again, like I said, don't get me wrong, that if the man doesn't act in a way that is inviting respect, that gives you sort of the out. Because if it gives you the out now, you're not going to like the way that it gives the out for the guy later. And I think that's where a lot of marriages have failed, is that men don't love their wives and women don't respect their husbands because they're neither of them are acting in that way, and so the relationship just dissolves. Also in my marriage counseling, I believe it's the guy that needs to do the first thing. Why? You're the head of the household. You don't wait for your wife to change. You change. You're the head. Lead. If something's wrong, make a change. If something's wrong with the kids, you make a change. If something's going off the rail with your finances, you make a change. Stop waiting for her to do something and start leading. And then, of course, 24, that now that the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in most things. Oh, I'm sorry. Submit to the husbands in everything. Yeah, thank you. Husbands, love your wives. All right, okay, well, so what's the Greek word for love? Yeah, I love it when everyone wants to do a Greek study. That usually means I really don't like what's being said, so can you tell me what the loopholes are so I can get out of it? All right, well, cool. This is what it says. Love your wives, and then it gives you kind of this example. It gives an equivalent. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. So let me see if I can paraphrase. Husbands, love your wives even if it kills you. Well, isn't that what happened? Did Christ lay down his life in service to the church? The church that was stained and nasty and gross? The church that was not following, that was not respecting, that was not submitting to what God had laid out? Did Christ say, well, you know what? these people aren't submitting to me, so why should I love them? Why should I give myself up for them? Husbands, love your wives. So what does this mean? Imagine that you are going out on a date with your wife or girlfriend, and you're going to the ranch. Not the dancing side of the ranch, but the fancy side of the ranch. And you're watching as your wife is spending a ton of time getting herself ready. And you think to yourself, great, I can watch some TV while I'm waiting. What if you said, how can I love my wife? How can I serve her just as Christ served the church? And so you're sitting there and you're eating your food and it's really wonderful. And then it comes time for dessert. And you start doing the quick calculations in your head and you realize that the amount of money you spent on drinks and food is already getting up there quite a bit. And you're thinking to yourself, well, maybe we should skip the dessert. And your wife looks at you when they bring the little tray aside and it's got all the things on it, and her eyes get really big and your wallet's getting a little bit smaller. And so you say something like, well, honey, you don't really need a dessert, do you? Is that loving? It's stupid. I'm very happy when, because I almost stepped in this trap. A real life example, this just happened yesterday. We're in the grocery store, and as we're shopping for some stuff, my wife looks at me. I hope this is okay to tell a story. It ends up well. But it's one where I almost did the dumb thing, but then I remembered what I was preaching, and I was like, I better do the right thing so I have a good example. So we're shopping, and she looks at me, and she says, hey, didn't Jacob tell you that I wanted flowers this week? And it's true. He did. I could show you the text. Mom wants flowers. And I'm like, yeah, okay, I'll pick some up for her. And guess when I picked them up? I hadn't. So I'm like, oh my gosh, yeah. Honey, I'm sorry, it's been a crazy week. Just have, you know, come up with all the great excuses. And we're walking. She's like, well, we forgot the sour cream for the baked potatoes. But we're walking now in the salad area because we just picked up some potatoes and some vegetables to grill. And in Vaughn's, as you're walking back there, what's right in front of you?
The flowers.
The flowers. And so I see the flowers. And I think how stupid it is to buy flowers because they just die. I think I've mentioned this before too. I think flowers are dumb. They die. What? Yeah, they're alive. They're not even alive. They're dead. They're dying. This is a symbol of my love for you. No, that'd be slowly dying. And so as I'm pushing the cart, I see it, and my wife, who is so respectful of me, says, "Honey, it's okay. I don't need flowers." And so all the guys go, oh, phew, all right, good. Because I was hoping that, and I was thinking that to myself, like, oh, this is good. It's because, you know, why spend $10 on flowers? This is dumb. So, you know, $10 I can buy some extra beer and it'll be a lot better. And I thought, wait a second. I'm supposed to be loving my wife. How do I love my wife? I buy her things that are good. Do I buy her things that I want her to have? No, I buy her things that she wants. I sacrifice what I want so that she is happy, so that she is served, so that she is loved and cherished. And so I look at her, I say, no, honey, we're going to stop and get you flowers. And she protests again. Oh, no, that's okay, honey. Of course, this is where I'm getting confused now. Does she really not want that? And I'm like, you know what? No. I've got to love my wife because the sermon demands it. And so I say, honey, go pick up the sour cream. I'm going to pick you up some nice flowers. And she just looks at me and she says, well, it's about time you got me the flowers. No, she didn't say that, because if she said that, would that be respectful?
No.
But my wife is very respectful. She looked at me and she says, honey, thank you so much. That means the world to me. Or something along that line. I can't remember. She had little tears in her eyes. It was really cute. And so I was like, hey, I've done it. Now, guys, you're thinking, oh, great. So you're asking us to be whipped. Yes, whipped, beaten, scourged, flogged, whatever it takes to love your wife, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up. Now again, so we turn it around. Sometimes, women, you don't act in a way that is deserving of the love. Guys, does that give us an excuse to say, well, we don't have to love you because you're acting like a giant turd? Can I say that in church?
Yes.
Yeah, that's okay. I think that's important.
You just did.
I just did. Yeah. So, now, we don't do things because they deserve it. That's the whole point. Men, if you and your wife have a strained relationship, and let's just say, for giggles, that she is actually the one at fault. She's the one to blame. Let's say it. You're probably wrong. It's probably your fault, but that's okay. You need to love her and cherish her. Tell her how beautiful she is and how wonderful she is and how grateful you are to have a relationship with her, even if she doesn't deserve it. Because that's the whole point. Did Jesus die for us because we deserved it? Absolutely not. And you'll find really quickly when things change, because sometimes when I find out I haven't really been very loving lately, when I step up and do that, it makes an instant change in the relationship. All right, Joshua, you have a question. Young, aspiring, sometime in the future going to get married, you have a question on or a comment?
I have a comment.
You have a comment, please.
So flowers, you hate them because they just die, but that could be a symbol of how you will love her even if it kills you.
Wise words from a young man. For those who didn't hear it, Joshua said, they're a symbol of your love because I would die for you. Yeah, I love it. And of course, I've heard guys say this. I think this is true, guys. Would you die for your women? Would you? Yeah, you would. Now the bigger question, will you live for her? Will you love her? Will you cherish her? Will you make her feel like she is the most important person in your life? So I don't know about you, that's what God does with me. He gave up everything for me. And I didn't deserve it, but I was not acting in loving ways, and yet God loved me. That's the whole idea about serving. Now, obviously, there's going to be times when things like this can be taken to extremes in ways that are not healthy. Obviously, when we're getting into abusive situations, I think some bets are off here. I don't want people to take this and apply it in ways that are inappropriate. But let's be honest, for the most part, this is true. For the most part, the guy is not some domineering guy that's ordering you around and making you cook and clean and do everything. It's usually the other way around. Usually the guy is just sitting in the barca lounger with his pants off watching TV. That's usually how it is. It doesn't happen in our house. I keep my pants on, just to let you know. If people drop over, like, no. Yes, Mark?
So, Mark, you say that the guy is not a bumbling idiot, but you portray the bumbling idiot.
Because there's times that we are the bumbling idiot. There are times that we fall into that exact trap of saying, well, this is what's portrayed, this is what my wife expects, so I'm going to give her everything I want, what she wants, and I'll just not do anything. I think guys often follow along, and I think we shouldn't do that. I think, guys, we need to be strong. Now, is being strong mean being domineering and being rude and insensitive? No. So, yeah, I'm in agreement that if this is the portrayal of what your life is like, that you slip into that, then I think you need to make a change in your life. So, but yes, and I'm in agreement. I slip into that exact same thing where I portray guys in negative ways because that's just what we do. How about we start portraying guys in positive ways? Yeah. Wives, is it possible to love your husbands and submit to them and respect them so much that they become much better lovers and carers of you? Yeah. Men, can your women love you in such a way that actually creates you to be a better person? Let me tell you, there's nothing scarier. When my wife and I are trying to make a decision, and I realize that the decision that we are about to make is going to have some pretty big consequences. Maybe it's the decision of a church to serve, or a place to live early on, which seminary to attend, also which apartment should we take. And let me tell you, it's really tough because you're trying to put all these factors together: proximity to the seminary, cost, and then later on, well, you know, we're going to take out this mortgage. Well, what about this? And I've got these decisions. Recently, my wife and I just refinanced. We've got all these decisions we got to make. And it is the scariest thing in the world to hear my wife say, "Well, I trust you. I respect you. Make the decision." That doesn't make me go, "Oh, yeah, it's about time, woman." No, it humbles me in such a way that I go, thank you. And it causes me to actually want to make sure that the decision I make is going to be for the betterment of my family. Wives, do you make decisions for the betterment of your husbands? Husbands, do you make decisions for the betterment of your wives? Do you make decisions that are the betterment for society? Do you make decisions that are the betterment for the police officer that just pulled you over because you were riding as a single rider in the carpool lane? How we act is really important. And I tell you, there's nothing greater, I think, in my estimation. As time has gone on, my wife and I have learned this whole thing. And please, don't get me wrong, I'm not perfect. And neither is my wife, but we try. And we try to say, this is the right way to go, and so this is the way we're going to do things. Now, it's going to be hard. It's hard when you do it in all things. Man, it is hard to love your wife in all things, because sometimes she's going to say things that are just downright mean and rude. The proper response is not to respond in kind, but to love her. And all of a sudden, she might go, "Oh, wow, he's loving me even though I'm not acting appropriately." And women, there's ways to respect and submit to your husband, even if he's being an idiot and not doing things right, and all of a sudden you submit to him, he may go, "Oh, wow, I better rethink things." But let me tell you, men, you are the leaders, and you are the ones that are taking charge, not in a domineering, angry way. And wives, if you are respecting your husbands, I don't know if it gets much better than that. Why is that? Because that's how God designed us. The things that men want to hear the most is, "I respect you." What women want to hear the most is, "I love and cherish you." I think the word love sometimes gets lost in this whole thing. So I usually, when I talk about this passage, I talk about cherishing. Giving myself up sacrificially. Sacrificial love to my wife. That's how I'm supposed to be. I'd like to think that I do it pretty well, but I can always do better, and I can always learn more. Wives, can you say the same thing? Yeah. Can we do this to each other? How do we do this? Remember, it all starts with verse 21, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. How can we do that with each other? How can I submit to you? Maybe that means I don't really like things a certain way, but I'm going to submit because I think this is the best thing, not for me, but for the whole or for others. Same thing with you. Maybe you don't like the way certain things are done, but maybe you do them. Why? Because this would be the best for the whole. This is why we do it. All right. We keep going. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or blemish, but holy and blameless. In this way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but he feeds and cares for it just as Christ does the church. For we are members of this of his body. So men, do you sacrifice because you love yourself, you buy clothes for yourself, you feed yourself, you shower yourself, you take care of yourself? Do you do the same every day? Is it a daily activity? And contrary wise, same thing with women. Are you daily respecting and giving honor to your husband every day in some special way? And are we doing that as a body? This is the reason why, verse 31, for this reason a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a really important thing. Sometimes when I do premarital counseling, it's really cute because they're so young, they're so in love. They're like, oh, I just love this, is so wonderful. Oh, I love you too, baby. And I think this is just beautiful. And I look at them and I said, please, whatever you do, keep this up for as long as you can. Because Satan comes to destroy relationships. And if you don't believe me, you are in for a world of hurt. And relationships take effort. Does it take effort to you to respect someone else? Does it take effort to you to love someone else? It's not natural. Guys are naturally self-centered. Women are naturally self-centered. It's just the way we are in our broken state. But we do this daily, loving and respecting one another, just as God does the church. And we sacrifice. We leave father and mother. We forsake how we like things. This is how my mom used to make tater tot casserole. So you better make no. Forgetting that and now saying, I've got a new relationship. This should also help us when we are older and we want to meddle in with our kids' relationships. No, they've left you for good reasons, because they've now grown up and are now part of another layer of society. Still call your mama every now and then, okay? Still talk to your dad. But if there comes a decision that needs to be made, and one decision is going to be wonderful for your wife, and one decision will be wonderful for your mother, which one should you choose?
Wife.
You choose the wife. And women, I know that your daddy has always fixed your sink and your car. But when something goes wrong, who should you turn to? Your husband. Unless he doesn't know how to do it. Then he'll call the wife. Or he'll call the wife's mom, father. We submit to one another. We leave our father and mother. We're united with one another. The two become one flesh. And it's really fantastic because he talks about this profound mystery. I'm talking about Christ and the church. And some people say, well, this is kind of an erasing verse. That, so he wasn't talking about relationships whatsoever. No, he was talking about relationships the whole time. And that is how we also do it with Christ. Should we respect Christ? Should we submit to what he says?
Yes.
Is that because Christ is domineering and is going to smack you upside of the head?
No.
It's because he loves you and he cares for you. And because God says, this is how I've designed things, we submit to it. Not because we like it, but because that's what's right and proper. We submit to governing authorities, not because they're worthy of it, but because that's how God set it up. We love one another and submit to one another, not because it's our default, it's because that's how God wants us to act. And then verse 33, because then he throws this, however, like, I could just hear Paul going, oh wow, this could be an outburst for people. No, however, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must phobia her husband. Oh, interesting. So the idea of respect and awe comes into this. God has designed us to be in relationships. God has asked us to do this. And I know I am guilty of all of these sins myself. I'm guilty of not being a leader. I'm guilty of not loving my wife in many ways. And I think my wife would say the same thing with me. That does not mean we give up. That does not mean we stop. That does not mean we say, oh well, got this relationship now, so I guess we'll just keep it this way. No. We say, God, thank you for loving us, for forgiving us, for caring for us. And now we wish to go out and interact. So as you interact with others, you know what they need. Men, we should love and respect women, not in a creepy, nasty way, but in a wonderful, honoring, lifting up, caring for way. And women to men, respecting, not in a meek, mild, bowing down and kissing rings kind of way, but in a way that builds them up and helps them to become the person that they're supposed to be. Because Jesus did that for us. Every single one of us was in a position where we were not loved, where we were not worthy of it. But God said, I don't care, I'm still going to love you anyway. Everything that we do, any relationship that you have, revolves around the fact that Christ loved us first and gave himself up. And when we have that in our backup, then it makes the relationships a whole lot easier. I'm just here to serve. I'm just here to love. I'm just here to care for in some way, shape, or form. Lord, today, help me to do that to my wife, to my husband, to my parents, to my fellow co-members of the body of Christ. Let's do that for one another. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this hard word. It's always great being able to be challenged by what you say. It's great to know that no matter what happens, even when we make mistakes, even when we are not respectful of our husbands, even when we are not loving towards our wives, you still give us the opportunity to make changes right here, right now. And Lord, I know for some of us, I know I read this stuff and I don't want to do it. But this wasn't a suggestion. This wasn't just a hint. This was you helping us see how to live out being imitators of Christ. Living in light of the fact that you love us with this deep, wide, high love that is uncountable. That you saved us not because of the merits that we have, but because of the grace you have, and that we are the workmanship, the poema, the masterpieces, and as we go out now, we can live that. Lord, I pray that you would have a change happen in marriages. I pray that husbands and wives would love and submit. I would pray that we could rewrite how marriage is supposed to be. I pray that this would be examples that we then can pass on to our children so that they can also have healthy relationships. And we pray for them. We apologize that we have often let others speak into their lives in ways that are unhealthy, but Lord, you have given us this word here and now to live out. And thank you again for your grace and your love shown to us in Jesus Christ and his overwhelming, incredible, loving sacrifice. We pray in Jesus' name.